and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts 27 and 28. We're finishing up at least the textual part. I'm going to do another week or two here on Acts, even after this week. Ben's going to do an activation thing in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to do something next week. My working idea right now is greatest hits. You know, like I saw like the Eagles' greatest hits album cover when I was thinking about this. And it's like, I was talking with somebody out in the lobby, foyer. It's an ongoing theological discussion around here. What is that? But talking with somebody, I was like, what song doesn't get on the album? I mean, this is an incredible book, right? I mean, we have just had such a blast going through it. And but I want to highlight some of those great songs then next week. I don't know if that's how we do it, but... Acts 27 and 28, we started off the series with a sermon called Inside the Wonderful Story, and it's kind of fitting that we finish this series with a message called And the Story Continues. We love good stories, don't we? Most of us. We love good stories, and we love good endings. We love clear endings, and this one doesn't have that. It's kind of a different purpose, you know? It doesn't, you know, like, how many of you guys have seen a Hallmark movie before? Hallmark movies, yeah. So those things have clear endings, and it's not over until they kiss, right? They got about 6 plot lines. Somebody breaks down in a car. There's some kind of time travel thing that happens. They go back. They figure out they really, really would have liked that or shouldn't have liked that person or whatever. And but then there's a kiss in the end. And that's not what we're talking about here. So let's stand up. And I do want to read those ending two verses. This is just something we do each week to honor in the first reading of Scripture, the Scripture. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of God, and we say, amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have a seat. So the story, it's open-ended, right? We don't know exactly how it ends. You know, some say that he never got out of that prison situation that he was in. Others think that he got out and then ultimately came back. I'm kind of that persuasion myself. But, you know, we just don't know. It's an open-ended, it's like, and the story continues, right? That's what's happening here. And Luke wants us to see that there are parallels going on here with the life of Jesus. Flash that slide up. You know, he in my former book, Theophilus, so Luke wrote Luke, and he wrote Acts. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And in this series, what we've been looking at is what Jesus began, the church in Acts continued to do, and that down through the centuries, the church down through the centuries has also continued to participate in that life. And we want to live right there ourselves. We want to be in the center, in that overlap liminal space where Jesus' words and ways are getting into us. And in the power of the Spirit, it's getting out of us into our lives where we're showing and sharing with other people, showing what Jesus looks like and sharing the good news about Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And so Luke is on that. And he's even, I think there's one author had 16 different parallels between Jesus and Paul, just over and over, the suffering, the cross, the hard things, the way, things that he had to go through, even like breaking bread in chapter 27. He's breaking bread on a ship, you know, which is just amazing, but it's like the Lord's Supper. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that. The winds are howling. Guys, you haven't eaten in a long time. We're breaking bread now. And this is like the Lord's Supper, you know? So there's Luke is making all of that. He wants us to get that stuff. You're going through seas, and that's like Noah, and it's like the Exodus, and it's like Jonah, you know, these famous stories of going through the sea, the hard place, and then getting to the other side. There's even a reference there. Paul puts his hand into some wood and comes out with a viper on it, a snake, and then he shakes it off. And so that's like a theological connection to the beginning of the story, but now that bite doesn't hurt. So all of that's going on, you know, in this story, and it's a way of writing that is connecting theologically, that's part of his purpose, to the whole story. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say. He's connecting what he's writing in Acts. It's not just like a history only. It's not just like, well, what happened in Paul's life? Because we don't know. If you're writing a biography, you would tell the story up to the end. It would take a long time, more than 28 chapters, to write a biography about Paul's life, right? But he's making connection to the story, to the cross, to Jesus the Messiah, the Savior. He's making a connection to the people of the world, Jew and Gentile, being brought together in Christ. He's making that connection huge for us to see, to the reign of God. He's making the connection that we now are the ones who are to bear witness to Jesus, starting in where we're at, in the region, the larger region, the nation, the nations. That's what we're to do and to be about, to participate, the people of God, on the mission of God for the glory of God. Amen. And so there's a call for us here to see our whole lives, our joys and our successes and our failures and our sorrows, to see all of life connected to Jesus and to his purpose and to his people and our mission together. It's the whole deal. It's not just the good stuff, and it's not all just bad. Right. It's a life that we live together with all the stuff and the junk and the mess. And so here's what I'm trying to say in a soundbite. God is calling us to be the church that continues to live in the words and ways of Jesus and do it together. So the acts of the Trinity, the acts of Jesus, the acts of the Holy Spirit, then and now, that's what we've been talking about, and the story continues. So the story continues through storms and trials. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 27, first few verses. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship for Andromatium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia. A Macedonian from Thessalonica was with us. So let's go ahead and put the map up just as a reference point. It kind of helps everybody to see. So they're starting down here, bottom right, at Caesarea, and then they sail for one day and they go to Sidon, where Paul gets off and gets some supplies from the centurion, lets him off. And if the whole trip could have just been like that, one day, one stop, everything's doing great, but it wasn't. They make their way on up around Pamphylia, Lycia, and then on down to Crete, where they stay at Fair Havens for a bit, and in Fair Havens. And so right there in verse 9, let's pick up the story there in verse 9. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. And one historian I was reading this week had literally pegged the day, like the Day of Atonement in 59 AD was October 5th. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? October 5th, 59. That's not on my radar. But the point is, it's late. It's after the Day of Atonement. It's late, it's winter, that's when the storms are. And so Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot, the captain, and of the owner of the ship. And since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. So put the map back up one more time. And so check it out. So they're in Fair Havens. That's right there in that middle dot on Crete. And they're just trying to get to Phoenix, just the next little, just that next little smidgen over. That's all they're trying to do is just, we're trying to get from here to over here and get a little further, get to a harbor that we can stay in for the winter. But you guys, some of you guys know the story. What happens is a northeastern, what they call a northeaster, blew in. It's like a hurricane force wind starts blowing. And it pushes them out to sea and follow I think that is the exact charted route, by the way, that the ship covered. Get it. Tough crowd. I'm kidding. It's a storm. they're just out there. They're in the middle of it. And I mean, it is raging. You know, a 14-day storm is bad. Anybody ever been seasick? You know what you'd like, make it, oh Lord, Lord in heaven, make this stop now. I'm crawling around, my legs are weak. And I think too, just if you've ever been sick, I've been sick on a big ship, Kim's gotten sick on a big ship. But imagine this ship, I don't know, first century, it just seems like more sick making, I'm trying to imagine that. And there's 276 people, so it's not a tiny ship, but they're out there, they're being blown everywhere. It is raging. I'm just thinking all the storm scenes you've seen in movies of ships, it's like that, right? And so, but there's some help coming, but not before they despair. Listen to what Luke's own words, you can tell it's his voice. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Wow, that's rough. And I do want to just touch on this. You know, the majority decided, so at least Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus they're a team kind of together. They're together. But there's 276 people on board, so that means there's 273 others that potentially voted. You know, the majority said, hey, let's do this. And, you know, sometimes the storms we go through, they're choices that we've made or we make with other people and like, hey, we think it's a good idea. You don't know a storm's coming, but this is what we think. And we head into what ends up being a terrible situation. But the good news is, and this is the turning point in the story, is the paragraph there in verse, it starts with verse 21. The story continues with God's help. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up. This is kind of interesting to me too here. Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. I just think that's funny. There's a raging storm. You know, it's a, how does everybody even hear? You know, man, you should have taken my advice. That's his starter. How to win friends. Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage. But now, he's got a word. Everything changes. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. Keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Okay. That is a wild scene, right? That is wild, man. And then finishes up, and they are dragged, they're dragging anchors. Some of the guys come up with a plot to get away, and Paul says, don't do that, you can't do that, you gotta stay with the ship. And, you know, there's just something, though, about a word from the Lord in the midst of the storm that changes everything. I had this past Monday, I woke up, and the last thing I dreamed was I was praying for a brother, a friend that I discipled a bit and baptized a few years ago. And I was praying about the race for him running the race as an athlete. And he was a big-time state champion at Aledo, and then played for Texas and for Arizona State. But I was praying for him and just blessing him in the name of Jesus. And then he turned around and was praying for me in the dream. That's the way I remembered. We ended up getting in touch and talking and praying for each other. And it was really good. And the thing that surprised me, after I prayed for him on the phone, he turned around and started praying that I would start, I thought it was interesting, start dreaming again. He just kept using the word dream, dream, dream. And over again, the Lord has been bringing that dream word to me. Again, I think he's trying to get my attention about this. But the point here is that when we're in the storm, what we need is a word from the Lord to lift our eyes up. We need encouragement from one another. We need something to stand on, you know? And I'll say more about that in just a second. But so it's with God's help. That's the pivot point in the story. And they keep, you know, they're dragged along and all of this. And they finally get close to Malta, is where they shipwreck. And I've got to read these couple of verses because it just, like, after all that's happened, they hit a sandbar. And then this verse 42, the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. And I just thought, man, I don't like that verse because it's just like, what a bummer. You know, Paul, like all the stuff that's happened, and then for him to just be killed at the end by soldiers who, and again, they would be penalized, maybe killed themselves. Maybe that's some of the thinking there. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, and he kept them from carrying out their plan, and he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard and first and get to land. The rest were then were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship, and in this way, everyone reached the land safely. And so what happens, though, as we follow the Lord and we walk through storms and we get a word from the Lord, as we respond to the word of the Lord, we're taken deeper into the purposes of God. That's how the story continues. We hear the Lord say no, and we no, I'm not going that way. That's kind of a repentance sometimes for us. No, we turn away from that way. And we hear the Lord say yes. Remember Acts 16, no here, no here, yes. And we're faced with those things all the time in our lives. No, no, yes. This is the way I want you to go in it. And we go deeper into the story as that happens. And so they arrive on the island of Malta. And that's when they're getting a fire going, and Paul reaches in, the viper bites him, and he shakes it off, and the people are like waiting for him to, fall over. And instead, he lives. And then they think, you know, first of all, he must be a murderer to get saved from the sea to then die from a snake bite. And then he shakes it off, and he lives, and then they think he's a god. But they end up helping this guy. The guy ends up helping them, actually. His name's Publius. He's a Roman citizen, probably. And his dad was sick, and so Paul goes and lays hands on him, and his dad is healed. And then everybody hears about it, and it's like Paul's back in ministry again, you know? He's been in prison, hasn't been able to do this kind of stuff. People find out, it's good news. Everybody comes running. There's healing on the island, and they stay there for 3 months. And then they go on and find their way on to Rome, where Paul runs into some brothers and sisters, some Jews that are there in that place. And the first thing he does is say, look, I'm not guilty. I've been put on trial, but I'm not guilty. And so I'm innocent. And I know that there's these charges out there, and they're like, wait, what? We haven't heard about any charges against you. And so, but we do want to hear what you have to say. Let me pick up that reading there in verse 21. We've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people have come from there and have reported anything about you. But we want to hear. We want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking about this sect, followers of Jesus. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through the prophet Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears and have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Praise the Lord. It's exciting. So rather than do a lot more comments there, I just want to get to us here. I want to get to a landing place. What does this mean for us? If we're looking at this word then and now, what does it mean now for us? And we could go on and on here. These are not the only takeaways from this. But one of the takeaways I had was that we're not always the hero of the story. Yeah, that's right. You know, like we're not always Paul, you know, who gets the word and we know what to do in the moment. I think a lot of us could identify with the soldiers or with the prisoners or just all the people that were sick on that ship. we don't always know what to do. And honestly, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't walking along with brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't always know what to do, and I don't always have the word of the Lord, you know? And that's why we do it in teams. All right. That's why we do it together. The fullness of hearing is not by myself. It's with others in the church. He's the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There's only one place to get the fullness. It's together with other brothers and sisters. So, we're not always Paul. And sometimes, and this is sobering, but sometimes it's our own choice that puts us in the storm in the first place. Anybody witness to that? They chose the storm. They overruled Paul, who actually did have the word of the Lord in this situation. And then another takeaway is that sometimes storms last longer than we think they should or would. I mean, 14 days, it's like, you know, even hurricanes kind of move through faster than 14 days, right? It doesn't just stay going. 14 days, wow. You know, and so that's long. And sometimes what we need more than anything else in the middle of an extended storm is a word from the Lord. A word of encouragement. Somebody comes alongside and says, hey man, I'm praying for you and I've got some encouragement for you. Just want you to hear this. I was sharing that how much that dream story brought encouragement to my heart. And I was like, okay, that was the Lord to call my brother and just get that encouragement. But then several weeks ago, somebody that I deeply love and respect said, I think this is going to connect with somebody else here too. He said, Jamie, he said, that storm, we were talking about a certain storm that's come and gone, but it was a long season. And he said, Jamie, he said, that storm is gone and it's time for you to get your legs under you. That's not what's happening now. And it was super encouraging for me. Yeah. Like you're not fighting that storm anymore. That's you're in a different place now. Now get your legs under you so that you can move forward. And some of us, I think it's like we're not fighting the storm from 3 or 4 years ago. Right. And it's time to get our legs firm and under us so that we can run the race. We're not fighting that battle. Right. And doesn't mean there's not other battles coming, but the Lord wants us to strengthen ourselves in him. To find our strength in the Lord. He's taking us deeper into the story, and he wants us to have our eyes open, our hearts soft, and our ears open to respond to him. How's he calling us to live in this time and place? And I say it this way, in the heart of the empire. You know, I read this story, and Paul, this isn't to Rome, it's not the ends of the earth. The church's been trying to reach the ends of the earth all down through the centuries, and we still are trying to reach the ends of the earth. But Paul wasn't going to the ends of the earth when he was going to Rome. He was going right, I almost called this message, into the heart of the empire, because that's where he went. All roads led to Rome. They led out of Rome. And you guys, like, we're in the heart of the empire ourselves, right here and right now. How does he want us to live here and now? How do we live this life out together? And, you know, it's just, it's huge. And we need soft hearts, not calloused hearts. We need open ears, not closed ears. Open eyes, not closing our eyes to what's going on around us, but listening. Lord, lead us. Lord, fill us with your love. Lord, fill us with your love for one another. Lord, mark us first and foremost and more than anything else with your love. That is what Jesus said. That's how we're going to be known. It's not by, did you check off on these doctrines, but do you love one another? And this is the first and foremost. This is how they're going to know your disciples. Do you love one another? And I just, even myself, I'm realizing, Kim and I were talking, the very fact that we're here today is because people down through the centuries have been saying yes to the Lord to participate in the story that keeps on going. We're here because there's some yeses in this room to keep saying yes to the Lord when it's hard, when there's a storm going, but to keep coming. And he won't let us go. He's got us, but he does want us responding to him, right, to say yes. Lord, yes, again. And I sometimes, even this weekend, I had to just go, Jesus, you're the Lord. You're the Savior. You're the King. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, I want you. I want to treasure you more than anything else in the world. And it's like I was literally writing those words down in my study on Friday morning, and I had some music going on in the background, and I was literally saying, Jesus, you reign, you're the Lord, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm writing those words down, and I hear in the background Charity Gale singing, I Speak Jesus. And it was just getting bigger. There's a gospel choir in the background, and she's just going off. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, wow. Because your name is power, Jesus. Your name is healing, Jesus. Your name is life. Break every stronghold and shine through the shadows and burn like the fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need in our place right now through the storms, with God's help coming to us, so that we would go deeper into the story. That's what he's, Lord Jesus, you're the Lord. Be the head of the church. Give us grace and help us. Come, Holy Spirit, help us and lead us through our confusion, through the darkness, through the wanderings, through the storms. Lead us. Amen. If you guys stand up. I want us to take some time here, just a few minutes, to respond to the Lord. If the band come up, and if you're on the ministry team, go ahead and come forward if you would. If you're visiting with us, we do this every Sunday. It's just an opportunity in the moment to respond to the Lord. Like, just, there's something about just, okay, Lord, I want to respond to you. Lord, what are you saying to me? How do you want me to respond to the word of God being preached in this moment? And so, you know, a few pieces here, you guys. If you've been in a storm, don't give up hope. Don't give up. And the Lord, he wants to bring somebody alongside and to encourage, to bring a word of encouragement. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you'll overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe there's a place in your life where you're just, there's a place where you need to proclaim Jesus. You need to literally speak Jesus in that place. That's what Lindy was encouraging us in communion. Just, there's a place, there's a storm, there's a trial, there's a hard thing, there's an addiction, whatever. We need to proclaim Jesus. Or maybe there's a place in life where you need to proclaim Jesus, you reign, the kingdom of God. Your kingdom is here and now. And I just want to encourage everybody here, if you just need to say yes again to Jesus, like, let's do that today. Just, if you need to say yes again to Jesus, do that. Don't let this moment get by without saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you need to start that journey, just it's started with prayer. Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I want to know your life and forgiveness and peace and help and wholeness and healing. Lord, would you be the Lord of my life? See, you guys, we all need help, all of us. And we're either doing good right now and we can pray for somebody else, or we're hurting and we need prayer. But whatever your need is, man, don't leave without getting somebody to pray with you, okay? Let's press into the Lord. Speak Jesus here. We love you. We need you, Lord.